AgriTalk is brought to you by new Bond Silage Speed C, aerobically stable corn silage in 14 days. Learn more at bondsilageusa.com/speed. It's fast.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. Glad that you're with us this morning. Davis Michelson is here as well.
Hello?
Davis, yes. If we go back to late last summer, last fall, and through the spring, we've been talking a lot about renewable diesel and the push for that refiners have got on to produce more and more and more renewable diesel. We can't forget, though, that biodiesel is still an option that is available immediately to help add to the nation's fuel supply and to help achieve some of the environmental air quality goals that EPA has got, that the Biden administration has set, and just to clean up the environment. So yesterday we saw a new study that has just been completed, and it was released by the Clean Fuels Alliance of America. Floyd Vergara is the director of state governmental affairs for the Clean Fuels Alliance, and he joins us right now. Floyd, welcome to AgriTalk.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. Okay, Floyd, so give us the details of the study. When was it conducted? Where was it conducted? Who did it? You know, let's get to the foundation of it.
Yeah, sure. So this is the study goes back to 2020. It's covered two phases. The phase one covered sites in the West Coast, the East Coast, primarily focusing on, and Colorado, primarily focusing on transportation sectors and also the heating oil sectors. Mm-hmm. The latest study that was the subject of this press release covered more of the Southwest, the Midwest, some states in the East Coast, and North Carolina and District of Columbia. The sites that were covered mapped back to the American Lung Association's State of the Air report that identified the worst cities for exposure to a variety of pollutants. In this case, we are focused on the smallest particulate matter, PM2.5, which has substantial adverse health impacts on people. So the study looked at a variety of sources where high diesel use occurs. This is ports, rail yards, logistics facilities, freight transport corridors, you know, that sort of facility.
Okay. And there was there a special focus on some of the environmental justice communities? Yeah, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has talked about this, that when some of the major arteries were built into the major cities, a lot of times the socially disadvantaged or economically disadvantaged areas are where they put that highway. Was there a special focus on those areas?
You know, that's a great question. When we started this study, we did not set out to look at environmental justice, from the get-go. We were really just asking a basic question, which is, what would the benefits be to people living near facilities that use a lot of petroleum diesel? We knew from the literature, from decades of literature, that biodiesel in particular has a significant benefit in terms of reducing diesel particulate matter. So we wanted to get a sense. So that was in the literature, but the literature never actually translated that into relatable metrics such as premature deaths, cancers avoided, asthma cases reduced, that sort of thing. So we wanted to take the literature and the analysis to the next level, which is to quantify those benefits into terms that regular folks can really relate to and understand on a basic level.
Gotcha. Okay. So Trinity Consultants conducted the study. What did they find? What were the results?
So what they found was using the same sort of the same exact models that US EPA and the California Air Resources Board and other prominent regulatory agencies, the same sort of air modeling tools and health risk assessment tools, they found that around these 27, 28 sites where folks were living, that the a switch to biodiesel from petroleum diesel would result in enormous benefits. And we suspected that would be the case from the literature, as I said earlier, but I think the results when translated into these sort of metrics that folks can relate to is really eye-opening. And again, like we mentioned earlier, we didn't set out to look at environmental justice per se, but right. as you noted, environmental justice and disadvantaged communities have historically been located near these facilities. So I think the insights provided by this study, can be really useful for the folks who live in those communities, as well as the policymakers who look at ways to clean up the air, especially around those areas. So the results, just going to the meat of this, is switching to biodiesel, to 100% biodiesel, would prevent in these areas over 910 premature deaths per year, more than 456,000 asthma cases per year, more than 142,000 sick days per year, and reduce cancer cases by over 9,400 over a 70-year time frame. And when you use standard EPA valuation methods to calculate the cost of and the benefits of those savings, you would be looking at a total savings of about of over $7.7 billion per year.
Wow.
And mind you, these are just these results are just for the 28 sites that were looked at in the study.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's dozens more, perhaps hundreds more similar sites across the country. So literally talking about the tip of the iceberg in terms of the potential benefits of this sort of switch.
Yeah, well, and the impact on the health cost, that $7.5 billion, that's only part of the economic advantage there, too, because if you've got 142,000 fewer sick days, you've got that much more economic activity being developed by people being able to stay at work, right?
Exactly. That $7.7 billion factors in the benefit to the economy from people not having to call in sick, the benefit to the economy from folks not having to stay at home with their asthmatic kids because they're being exposed to too much pollutants. I mean, there's all kinds of consequences for the economy, as you pointed out. So
yeah,
I think this is a really insightful study. This is consistent with other work that's been done by American Lung Association, other environmental groups.
Of the release couldn't be better, Floyd, with EPA Administrator Regan headed to Capitol Hill today and tomorrow for testimony. And it's budget related is testimony is, but conversations about this and air quality issues are going to happen. So this sends him in there with some a fairly powerful study, doesn't it?
And that's exactly right. And, I would point out that, when we started this study, we were looking at states that were aggressively pursuing climate policies. So trying to reduce greenhouse gases, which, of course, biodiesel and renewable diesel have 74 to 85 to 90% reduction in greenhouse gases. So they're already right out of the gate, fantastic for reducing greenhouse gases from the transportation sector immediately, as you pointed out. But you can also point at the immediate health benefits that these fuels provide. And I think that's not played out as much as it should be. In these conversations that EPA and Congress and policymakers at the state level are having.
Yeah, good stuff. And I love that bioheat program in the Northeast. That's added so much demand, hasn't it?
It has, and we looked at BioHeat. Part of the study was looking at switching to B100 for heating oil applications, and we found similar sort of results in the Northeast where these fuels can be used and are being used.
Yeah, very good. And when renewable diesel becomes more readily available, the health benefits and the air quality will be advanced in a similar fashion there. So looking forward to that. Floyd, good stuff, man. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yep, that is Floyd Vergara. He is the Director of State Governmental Affairs for the Clean Fuels Alliance of America. Up next, Farm CPA Paul Niefer here on AgriTalk.